As we consider the theme of redemption tonight, we'll focus on the thought of how God redeems people back from the grave, how he resurrects individuals. We're also going to consider relationships tonight. And in many ways, relationships are like our physical bodies. They can either be thriving or they can be suffering and dying. And the relationship that we're going to focus on tonight is from the book of Hosea. It is the relationship between the Lord and his nation Israel, and it's going to be seen in a morality play of sorts, a kind of mimicking of the situation that was taking place, and the prophet Hosea and his wife would play the roles of God and Israel. In Hosea chapter 13, verse 14, there is a verse that will become our theme verse tonight. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. This is the Lord speaking. I will redeem them from death. Where, O death, are your plagues? Where, O grave, is your destruction? Now, if that sounds a little bit like a New Testament verse, you would be correct, because that verse is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to be looking at that in just a few minutes. But for now, we want to set the scene. The prophet Hosea was commanded by the Lord to take to himself a wife of unfaithfulness, as the scriptures say. It's thought that she might have even been a prostitute. This would be quite the contrast to see a man who was a spokesman for the Lord, possibly you could even say like the equivalent of a pastor, now being commanded to take to himself a wife who might be a prostitute. This would raise a lot of eyebrows, I'm sure, among the religious community. Why would anyone be commanded to do this? Because this was the situation in which the Lord saw his people. They had been one to him. They had been betrothed to him, so to speak. They had been married in the covenant at Mount Sinai. God had said, I will be your God, you will be my people. The arrangement had been made, and the people all said, we will. And then, over the years, the people wandered. They strayed. They were unfaithful. And as the scripture says, they prostituted themselves to the Baals and Ashtoreths, and these were the idols. So the people fell away from faithfulness to God. And at one point, the Lord's frustration is so intense that he calls Hosea to act out this situation in real life. So Hosea is commanded to marry a woman with an atrocious name, Gomer. Terrible name. And she is, it's thought that she already had children by another name because of the arrangement and discussion of the children. So she probably already had children with another man. And you can just imagine the emotions and the feelings in Hosea's heart when he takes her as a wife. The children are named highly symbolic names. If you want to flip back to the beginning of the book, in chapter 1, you will see the Lord's motivation for having Hosea do this in verse 2. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. And so then they jump right to the marriage and to the children. And notice the children. The first child is called Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel. There had been a civil war, a very bloody rift in the dynasty of Israel, and it had resulted in many murders, even mass murders, in the royal lineage. And the Lord was so unpleased with this bloodshed that he said, just as these descendants have been scattered, I believe the word Jezreel means scattered, so the Lord said, I will scatter the people of Israel as a punishment. Okay? The second child, verse 6, conceived again, gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said, call her Lo Ruhamah. Lo Ruhamah meant not loved, if I'm not mistaken. And the reason is because she would no longer be loved by the Lord. Now this, not the daughter, but the people, the Lord is saying, the symbolic name means that he will no longer show his love to Israel. You can see a separation happening here, sort of almost like a divorce decree taking place. Remember, one of the great lines of the Old Testament was that the Lord God is the Lord of a everlasting love, a steadfast love. This was supposed to be the nature of God, was to have this never-say-die commitment. And here, he is so frustrated and upset with his people that he is declaring this child's name will symbolize the rift in the relationship. And you see, as we were saying earlier, relationships can either thrive like a human body or they can die like a human body. And here we are seeing that this death, this spiritual death of the nation of Israel, and the Lord talking in terms of divorce. The third child, verse 8, they had another child, a son, and he said, call him Lo Ami. Lo Ami means not my people. Now remember, the covenant at Sinai was the agreement, I will be your God, you will be my people. And here he is severing himself with this statement, you are no longer my people. You can see how aggravated God is because of the unfaithfulness of the people. So there is a relationship that is dying. And now if you flip back to chapter 14, where we pick it up, God had divorced himself. God had said, you have been unfaithful. You have violated this marriage covenant, so to speak, and therefore you are no longer loved. You are no longer my people. Now, of course, if this was God's only nature, if it was only a God of justice and wrath and strength, that would be the end of the story, and salvation would have come to a screeching halt right at that point. However, God is also infinitely compassionate and kind and forgiving. And so we see the struggle in the book of Hosea between God's justice and God's compassion. And of course, the thankful thing for us sinful humans is that in the end, God chooses not to condemn sinners, but to redeem sinners. And this is exactly what happens in the book of Hosea. And so, sure enough, after he marries this woman of unfaithfulness, this adulteress, what does she do? Hosea's wife was unfaithful to him and ran off with other men. And this symbolized exactly what was happening in God's relationship with Israel. So the Lord, you can see a lot of this anguish and frustration and the emotions of God between his justice and his mercy. And in the end, he commands Hosea, go back and get your wife. Go back, hunt her down, and bring her home and tell her she will live with you again. See? And that is a really good symbolic illustration of how salvation works. God's people, he's designed to be in harmony with him. They sin, reject, rebel, turn away. It's this inherent sinfulness in us. And God has to be the one who in his mercy goes and redeems and brings back. And that's why in Hosea then, in chapter 13, verse 14, it is a description of God's relationship that is not going to suffer and die. When he says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave, I will redeem them from death, the whole nation was dying. And God would bring them back and restore them once again. Of course, sitting in the position we are centuries later, in seeing God's larger plan, we are privy to the knowledge that God intended a lot more than just a restoration of the nation of Israel, that his overarching plan literally is to redeem from the grave, that he literally does want sinners to come to life eternal with him. And so there is basically a two-part plan to that. When God brings back people from the dead, the first way he does so is to redeem them from a sin-filled, ungodly life. And I'd like for you to see that in 1 Peter chapter 1, where this is described. 1 Peter 1 is on page 1887. Page 1887. We're going to go to verse 18. Peter is telling the people, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Notice that comment there in verse 18 about the empty way of life that the people were redeemed from. The first, and I guess we could say temporary, result of God's redemption is to redeem us back from a dead life, a life without the Spirit of God, a life lived only to suit the desires of the flesh, a life that really has no ultimate eternal purpose. And so in Christ, God redeems people back from this, brings you from a state of spiritual death to a state of spiritual life in Christ. And then we see the second way and the ultimate way in which God wants to redeem people from death, and that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now we're going to go to the passage that is quoted by Paul from Hosea. So originally, in Hosea, God was talking about redeeming the people, bringing them back from death, the nation. Now Paul is going to take this verse, and he is going to apply it to salvation in Jesus. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 54, Paul says, "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written is come true, death has been swallowed up in victory." You see, Paul is not just talking any longer about God redeeming us from a wasted life. Now he is talking about redeeming us from death. So there is a greater, more ultimate redemption that God has. Not just your life meaning purpose now, but a new life in Christ after death. And then he quotes Hosea, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So Hosea has a beautiful lesson for us to teach us about the God that does not want relationships with his people to die. He is not willing that Satan and sin and death have the last laugh, and that it separates people from him eternally. He has bound himself to us with his promise of love. And even though we have strayed, even though we have failed him many ways, he is still committed to us. And for the sake of his holiness and his love, he has redeemed us. Not just from a useless, wasted life here on earth, but also ultimately, finally redeemed us for life eternal in Christ. Amen.